God is good. And all the time. Good morning. It is great to see each and every one of you. Let me get my little control here.
There you go.
That way I can mute Justin. Oh, here, wait.
If you'll grab your bulletin that you were handed whenever you came in, we have all kinds of announcements there on the inside cover. A lot of things that you want to check out, some that you may have seen on the screen, some that you may have not. But Circle D will be having their December 1st, this week, their Christmas meeting at the home of Sharon Eichel. So that's always a big event. Be sure to attend that. You don't want to miss that. And also, this coming Tuesday evening, the preschool that we have here at the church is hosting its second annual literacy night. And there will be a lot of different things there. We're going to have activities, refreshments, and there are actually going to be some guest readers. And Randy Morrow and myself, including a few others, will be some of those readers. So if you have, you know, little interest in books, if you just want to come and have one of us read to you, you'll have that opportunity. So
we also want to lift up along the literacy nights. Look right back there. If you look behind you, you'll see part of that literacy night in our entryway of the church. You are welcome to purchase books after service. I suppose you could now, but I'd rather they not get up
and
do that.
That's true.
But anyway, after service, in between services, or if you want to come back that night as well, that would be great. One thing that isn't in the bulletin, well, actually we have a couple things right now that aren't in the bulletin. Number one, if you brought your angel for our Christmas tree, you can bring it up anytime right now. We just invite you to bring it on up and place it on the front pew here. And what those are, it's been in the bulletin for the last several weeks, but several years ago, people made angels representing their families. And we haven't done that, honestly, since Jamie and I were here. And so that's been almost 5 years, if you can believe it or not. You've put up with us for that long. But anyway, we want some families. If you want to make another one, if you've made one in the past and would like to make a new one, that is awesome. If you just, maybe this is the first time for you, we invite you to make an angel for our angel tree and bring it up at any time if you want to. And you don't have to make it. It can be something that represents your family as well. If it were me, you wouldn't want me to make an angel and put it up there. I would not do it very well, Justin.
Yeah, you'd probably grieve the spirit.
Yeah, grieve the spirit. Gene, would you mind coming on up for our generosity moment? And while she's doing that, we also have another sort of angel tree in the back, in the entryway that I know that you want to be involved in. We have several families in the community that our church has adopted, and there are snowmen and Christmas trees, and I can't remember what the third shape is up there, and there are directions on each card and what age you're buying for and everything. So please take a look at that. Grab one, two, or three, however many of those you feel that you can afford, and that will make some family very, very happy this Christmas that wouldn't normally have any gifts for Christmas time. So, Jean?
Okay, thank you. Good morning. I want to talk to you a few minutes this morning about history and legacies. Larry and I have been in this church for about 5 years. Before that, we've been everywhere. We're kind of nomadic. We have been at a small Baptist church in a place called Melbourne, Kentucky. We were in a small Lutheran church in Paducah, Kentucky. We were in a medium-sized church in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, a huge church, Lutheran church, in Jefferson City, and now we're happily here. One of the things that all of these churches have in common is that it has everything that we see here. Sorry, I'll try not to turn my face or my head away from the mic. Every church we've always been in has a podium, a place for the pastor to bring the message, whether it's formal or informal. It has pews, has a piano and or an organ. They didn't all have coffee in the narthex. We've always had Sunday school rooms. And we have been at those churches and then we've gone on from those churches. But those things are always there for the next person that comes in. And in this church, I know that many of you have really deep roots. Your families have been here for many, many years, generations perhaps. And they began this process, and you are continuing it, all of us here. And what we're doing is building something for the future. Now, I'm one of these people who says, you know, I want all the good stuff while I'm still here. But we're also thinking about who's coming next. I read in our little extravagant generosity book that we were studying in our Sunday school class about what the birds do. They build nests, but they don't build it for themselves. You know, the mother bird doesn't say, "Hun, let's get this tri-level over here." They build it because they know they're going to have children shortly. They build that nest to raise their children, and then everybody leaves. I doubt if the same birds ever come back to the nests, although they might. But they're not doing it for themselves. They're doing it for their children and their future. And that's really what we're doing here. When we bring our tithes and our offerings every Sunday, we're not only supporting ourselves, but we're building for what we're doing in the future, for the next people that might come along like us, who've been all over the country. And when we come here, everything is here that we need, and we want to make sure that it still is here when new people come in. So think about it when it's time to make your commitment. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Gene. Appreciate it. You want to say a word about Student Day?
Absolutely. If you'll notice at the bottom of the bulletin, today is United Methodist Student Day, and because of that, our youth are actually going to be in charge of the service today. So if you're a guest with us, we actually do preach from time to time, but today the youth are pretty much taking over everything, so we get Woo-hoo. To sit back and enjoy that and be a part of that. So,
excellent. Yeah, this is a great day. I'm always excited about this. If you notice, things are kind of decorated. By the time the service is over, it will be a beautiful place, and this church is beautiful anyway, but it will add all of the Advent and Christmas decorations, so that's great.
And also, one last announcement, the volunteers in mission, the VIM missions team, are going to be going down to Joplin in February and in April. Those dates are in your bulletin. So if you have some questions about that or interested in that, talk to Pete and Sandy Graham. Pete and Sandy, if you'll put your hand up, they're kind of off over here to the side if you're interested in talking to them about that. And also be sure to look at your Cliff Notes for the week, the notes that go along with Daniel's sermon for the week. Be sure to take a look at those. And be sure to fill out your connection card too. Tear that out and drop that into the offering plate so that we can have record of you being here.
As Justin said, make sure you greet these youth. They've worked real hard for today and want to make a great worship service for you and glorify God. Let us have an opening prayer, and then Mark will begin our prelude. Let us pray. Holy God, we celebrate today. We thank you, Lord, this first Sunday of Advent as we lean forward to the birth of your baby, our Savior, the Creator of all the world, God. We know and believe that all things were created through Jesus, and we look forward to remembering, Lord, his birth, celebrating his birth. Help our lives become more and more focused around Jesus in these next 4 weeks, God. For that is what Advent is about, waiting and focusing, Lord. We celebrate the youth of this church. We celebrate all the youth leaders, Lord. And we thank you for their presence in this church. And we ask that today you anoint them fully with your Holy Spirit. As each one of them stand and speak or pray, dear God, we just ask for your powerful spirit to be felt through them. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Thank you.
Today we prepare, anticipate, and celebrate the birth of a tiny baby. Remember the baby who is our Savior through song, word, and symbol. Each song, each flower, each light, every word, and every green thing reminds us. God loves us, each and every one of us. Please stand as we sing, Come, Thou Long-Expected Jesus, found on page 196 in your hymnal. Look at the back of your bulletin. On the very back page, it lists everyone that is in need of prayer. And keep these people that are in need of prayer, and many more people that are not listed on back here by your prayer chair, as Dad says. And I forgot it, but it's over there. But your study guide, the yellow paper, and please pray with me. Dear God, thank you for all of us being here. Help us have a great service and a great day, and be with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Will you please turn to Luke 1:26 through 33 in your Bible? When you find your place, please put your finger in it and stand with me for the Bible pledge. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess that my mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph. Of the house of David, the virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and now you will conceive in your womb and bear a child, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and He will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of the ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Once upon a time, no, that's not it. It was a dark and stormy night. The beginning. Today I want to tell you about two different beginnings. And I'm going to start with the first beginning. Now, I feel this is important for us to talk about because, well, without it, there wouldn't be you, there wouldn't be me, there wouldn't be Christmas. We can't have that. We start in Genesis 1:1 through 2:4a. First, God separated the dark and the light and day and night. Then he created the sky, and shortly after, God created the sun and the moon, and then the stars. He created the sea creatures and the birds, and I mean, they flew around and swam around randomly. Then he let dry land appear. On the dry land, he creates the trees, vegetables, and things like that to let grow. With them, he creates cattle and creeping things and wild animals, and they just roam the earth. And then last but not least, God created us, humans. And finally, he rests. With this comes the story of Adam and Eve, which most people know. You know, they were in the garden, and they got tricked into eating the fruit off the tree God said not to eat off of. Then, that finally brings us to the beginning of Jesus, many years later. Now, most people know this story. Jesus was born in a manger. You know, there was the shepherds, and the angel was there, and the wise men. You know, we celebrate this story every year. We have a Christmas tree. We decorate it with lights. We go caroling. We have food with family. You know, we exchange gifts and stuff. And then every year Santa comes over this. But I think sometimes we get so caught up in all the celebrating and the gifts exchanging that we don't really take in the story. We don't understand why we're celebrating. So I'm going to tell you a story more in depth and try to give you a little more view over it. So we're going to start in Nazareth about 9 months before Jesus was born. There's a estimated population there of 100 to 400 people, small town. I mean, they were both laborers, farmers. I mean, not much came. A lot of people were merchants. They would travel an hour walking each way a day just to go to bigger towns and trade their goods for money. That was their source of income. Now, we can find the living status of this in John 1:45 through 46, when Philip, one of the Jesus' first disciples, told his friend, Nathanael, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph, from Nazareth." Nathanael replied, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Now, Nazareth was found on a spring. In biblical times, springs were called living water, because water came out of the earth. Everyone thought God sent that there because you need water to live. God sent that them for them to live. The spring is still there today, and so we got to think, Jesus lived there for 30 years. That's probably the spring he drank out of, he got water from. Mary lived there. That's where she got her water from. She drank out of it. Most people actually believe that this is where Gabriel came to Mary and said, "You're going to be holding God's child." When the angel Gabriel came to her and told her she would be bearing God's child, now in the small town of Nazareth, most people, including Mary, lived in caves. That's kind of out of the ordinary for us because why do we live in a cave? They're wet, they're damp. But it actually was a good shelter for them. And it blocked out a lot of the bad weather and stuff they'd have. Nazareth was looked down upon by Galilee. Galilee was this big town. They had thousands of people estimated there. And a lot of people there are like, oh, they got 300 people over here. They should be with us. You know, they put them down because they weren't rich. You know, they weren't a big society. A lot of people would look down on them like, say today, a small town in Kansas. That's how they'd look at it. So the question was, why did God choose this small town of Nazareth? You know, nothing really, you think nothing good came out of it, small people. Why wouldn't he pick someone from, why wouldn't God choose someone from Galilee to bear his child? They were bigger, they had thousands of people, you know, they were rich. He could have had someone rich and powerful have his son, and then his son would become a king or something. But instead, he chose this girl who came from a poor family. She lived in a cave. And, you know, why would God choose someone like that? In James 4:6, James says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God chooses the least likely to accomplish his most important work. He's not just going to go to the people that are more powerful because they can rule everything and say, oh, I want you to do this because you can make it happen. No, he wanted someone from a small town that people probably looked down upon, didn't think she was worth much. She was the one who bared his child. Now let's look closer into Mary's life. At this time, when she got asked this, she was most likely around the age of 13. Now, this shocked us because nowadays you want to get pregnant at 13 unless you're doing some bad stuff. But back then, that was the age that most women got married. And they got at this time, Mary was engaged, of course, to Joseph. Now, she was a little mature for her age, you know, compared to girls nowadays at 13. But you got to think mature or not. When you're 13 and you're at a well and some guy comes up and says, you're going to bear God's child, that's got to freak you out a little bit. So, I mean, for her age, you can't think, oh, she was ready for that, because most of us wouldn't be shocked if someone did that. Okay, in Greek, angel means messenger. So most of us think Gabriel came to her. He's in this white cloak, big wings, halo over his head, this massive angel, right? He probably came to her as a normal person, like Kevin. If he walked up, he could be an angel. Normal angel. There you go. So it wasn't like this big winged creature came to her. It was just like, he was in the form of a normal person, walks up and starts telling her this. So that's got to be a little more weird. But he came to her and he said, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Now most people take that right there, that sentence, as him saying, Mary was conceived and born without sin. As he kept talking to her, he said, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestors, David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. That's Luke 1:30-33. As a 13-year-old girl, not fully, you know, getting this, understanding it, you know, she was confused. She was shocked. What's this guy talking about? But she said to him, Luke 1:38, Here I am, servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. Christian Cohn told the story of a Christmas pageant. Tons of kids came out. You know, they wanted to be in this. They could sing, dance, be part of a play. Fun, right? Now, There was people who wanted to be shepherds and the sheep and the donkeys. No one really wanted to be Joseph because he didn't have any speaking lines. But then when he came and said, "Who wants to be Mary?" all the girls' hands shot up, jumping, "Me, me, 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 me," because they all wanted to be Mary, the main role. Well, then he asked, "Did you think Mary wanted to be Mary?" Think about this. The chance of losing her traditional wedding with her heart pounding, with uncertain fears and confusions. Think she wanted to be Mary? But Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord." Christmas isn't about what we buy or get, what we eat or who we visit, the stuff. It's nice, yeah. We all like it. But Christmas is about celebrating the story of Jesus' birth. It's about wanting to and being like Mary and saying, "Here I am, servant of the Lord. Use me according to your will." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this glorious day. Thank you for letting all these people be here and letting us worship you today. Lord, let everybody this Christmas season be able to say, "Here I am, servant of the Lord. Use me according to your will," as we all want to be like Mary and say we're here to serve you, Lord. Let everybody have a wonderful Christmas, Lord. In your name I pray, amen.
Lebanon will come to you, the pine, the fir, and the cypress together to adorn the place of my sanctuary, and I will glorify the place of my feet. Isaiah 60:13. Centuries ago, long before the birth of Christ, the use of evergreen branches were always a part of festive processions. The evergreen wreath has always been an emblem of eternal life and God's faithfulness to all humanity. Although cold winter kills most plants, the evergreen remains, through it all, the symbol of life. For us today, it becomes the joyous, happy symbol of life eternal in our Lord Jesus Christ. The wreaths that are hung in our sanctuary also have symbolic significance. Their endless circle reminds us of the endless love of God, and their green color, which is evergreen, reminds us that the new life that God gives us will never die. Please turn to page 237 in your hymnal and sing verses 1, 2, and 3 of "Sing We Now of Christmas."
Of Sharon, a lily of the valleys. Song of Solomon 2:1. The poinsettia has become a traditional Christmas flower. Although it is treasured in all parts of the world as a symbol of Christmas, it can be traced back to an old Mexican legend. A poor peasant girl going to her church to visit the manger scene on Christmas morning was brokenhearted because she had nothing of beauty or value to offer the Christ child. On her way, she picked some weeds from the side of the road and, as her only possession in the world, laid them at the feet of the statue of the Virgin Mary. Miraculously, they transformed into a scarlet brilliance of poinsettia we know today. The poinsettias remind us of Joel Robert Poinsett, for whom the plant is named. He was born in Charleston in 1759 and was a planter, botanist, statesman, and our country's first minister to Mexico, from where he first bought the plant, Charleston, in 1829. Now it is used throughout the world at Christmas time. The bright blood red poinsettia has become the most popular of all Christmas flowers. The star of the leaf is said to represent the star stood over the Christ child. The red flower stands for the blood of the male infants that King Herod had slain. The red flower also represents a shed blood Christ who came to be our Savior. Please join us in singing I Wonder As I Wonder, found on the screen.
Jesus tells us, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Long before the celebration of Christmas, candles were used to signify Christ as the light of the world. In medieval times, there was a legend which said that on Christmas Eve, the Christ child wandered through the world, looking for places where he would be welcomed. Those who loved him, hoping that he might find their homes, placed lighted candles in the window to invite him in. No one, of course, knew for sure how he might appear. Perhaps he would come dressed in rags of a beggar, or he might come as a poor and lonely child. He might even come in a form of a disabled person who was put out to roam the streets of the city or the lonely footpaths of the countryside. So it became customary to devout Christians to welcome into their homes all who knocked at their doors on Christmas Eve. To turn away may have meant that the rejection of the Christ child, who had come in an unfamiliar garb. During the Advent season, we remember that the Christ child is wandering along our streets, looking for homes where he will be given warmth and shelter. The candles in the windows of homes and churches symbolize to all of our community that Christ is our guest. Here is a place where there is room in our hearts for him. Please join us and singing, O Come All Ye Faithful, found on page 234 in your hymnal. We will sing stanzas 1, 2, and 3.
Says, in those days a decree went out from the Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration, and it was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth to Galilee to Judah to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. One of the most heartwarming expressions of Christmas is the Nativity. The Nativity speaks of the mystery of God's wisdom, why God chose to send his Son into our world as a baby of humble birth. Born in a common surroundings, we don't know. What we do know is that God reached out to all people, including the poor and the wealthy, the simple and the wise, the powerless and the powerful. All who found him knelt in humility before him. Knowing God is possible because he came to us at our level. Whenever we see a nativity, we find ourselves with Mary and Joseph, with the shepherds and with the wise men, bowing before the manger, overwhelmed by God's expression and love in coming to us. Please join us as we sing verses 1, 3, and 4 of Little Town of Bethlehem on page 230 in your hymnal.
O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark streets sinneth the everlasting hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee to lie. How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessing of His end. No ear may hear His coming, but in this world of sin, angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide in us, our Lord Emmanuel.
On this first Sunday of Advent, we light the prophet's candle. We light this candle with the expectation that God would give us vision, eyes that see His glory, to see clearly the path before us. O come, Emmanuel, shine inside of us. In Isaiah 9, the prophet tells us, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. For those who lived in a land of deep shadows, light, sunbursts of light. For a child has been born for us, God's Son given to us. Authority rests upon His shoulders, and He is named Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." The prophets had the gift of vision. They saw the darkness and the need for a Savior. They saw with God's eyes the pain and suffering for humanity. They saw the possibility for renewal and had faith in God's perfect plan. They awaited with expectation the Messiah, Amazing Counselor, God made flesh. We too can see with the eyes of God because of Emmanuel, who gives us eyes to see. Believe and you will see.
Let us pray. Lord God, thank you for shining your light in us, upon us. Fill us with joy as we anticipate Christ's arrival in our hearts. Amen. Please join us as we sing the first verse of O Come, Emmanuel, found on page 211 in your hymnal.
Rejoice, rejoice.